If you have your Bible tonight, turn with me to Luke 22, starting in verse 41. This is the time when Jesus is in the garden in Gethsemane, just before his crucifixion. And it's a short passage tonight, but it's very, very powerful. And I can't wait to hear what Paulo's message is going to be about tonight, because this scripture really speaks to my heart. He withdrew about a stone's throw from beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. May God add his blessing to his word.
So this is sermon 3. It's the last sermon on the mini series that we're doing about hearing God in the silence. So, and if you didn't have a chance to listen to the other two sermons, it's online in our website, cowboytrailchurch.com, and you can go there and see other powerful messages as well from the other preachers that are helping here at Cowboy Church. We're blessed, right, to have all these people helping us here. So far, we have explored how God's silence doesn't mean his absence, and how he also speaks through the still, small voice in the ordinary moments of our lives. Today, I want to address perhaps the most challenging aspect of God's silence: the times when we pray, we seek, we wait, and yet the answer we so long for never seems to come. This is the unanswered silence, a space that can test our faith to its very core, leaving us feeling forgotten, sometimes confused, or even abandoned. Much like watching a drought persisting or a market price plummet despite all our efforts or all your effort. It's easy to trust God when everything is good. When we are doing good and everything is well, we feel his presence strongly. And when we pray, our prayers are answered exactly as we hoped for. When the rain comes just in time, or the calving season is unexpectedly good. But what about when a beloved one remains ill, despite our fervent prayers and even our fasting? What about when a crop fails after months of hard labor? What about when a long-standing financial struggle persists? When the lack of job continue going on, and we feel no clear direction or any comfort from above? In these moments, God's silence can feel like a heavy weight, a sign of his indifference, or worse, his disapproval. It's in times like these that we fail to see the blessings we are still receiving. The vastness of the land can feel less like a comfort and more like an echo of our own unanswered cries. I want to reassure to you today that even in the deepest, most persistent silences, God is still God. He is still there, and he is still good, still sovereign, and is still profoundly present, and he still loves each one of you here tonight. His no or his wait is just as much as answer as his yes, and often it is in these very silences that our faith is refined, our character is strengthened, And our understanding of God is deepened in ways that would not be possible for us to understand otherwise. It is in the lean years that we learn the most profound lessons of dependence, of our dependence on Him. Our scripture today brings us to a difficult moment in the life of Jesus Christ, a man who was God, a moment of intense prayer and apparent silence. In the Garden of Gethsemane, just before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed. And as Paul read, Jesus said, "Father, if you are willing to take this cup away from me, yet not my will be done, but yours." Jesus, the Son of God, prayed for a different outcome. He asked for the cup, that suffering that he was going to pass on that cross, to be taken away from him. And yet, that cup was not removed. God the Father did not say yes to his Son's earnest plea for an alternative solution. Could God do it in a different way? Yeah, he could. He's God. He's very creative, as I said before, and he can do what pleases him. But this was the way that he promised to restore humanity to him. Instead, he sent an angel to strengthen Christ for the path he was already on. So this is a powerful example of God's unanswered silence. Not a sign of abandonment, but a call to trust in a greater purpose. A purpose that, like the cycle of the seasons, often involves a period of dying before new life can emerge. So, what can we learn from this story, this passage about trusting God in the unanswered silence? Especially when our lives are so tied to some of the unpredictable, uncontrolled forces around us. So let's jump then to my first point here. God unanswered silence does not mean he doesn't hear or care. So this is a fundamental truth we must hold on to. Jesus' prayer in the Gethsemane was heard. His Father sent an angel to strengthen him. The answer wasn't yes to the request to remove the cup, but yes to providing strength through the cup that he was going to face. Our human understanding of hearing often equates to agreeing or complying, but God's hearing is perfect. He understands our deepest cries, even when his response isn't what we expect. His love is not measured by the immediate gratification of our desires, but by his perfect wisdom and ultimate good for us. When our prayers for rain seems to go unanswered, or a season's hard work yields little, it's not because God is deaf or indifferent. It's because his perspective is eternal and ours is temporal, right? Do you have problems to understand that? I don't think so. He is not limited. We are. He sees the whole picture in all the times, right? He sees the long game, the ultimate purpose, while we often only see our immediate needs, our desires. Trusting in the unanswered silence means believing that God's love is unwavering, even when His methods are mysterious, when we don't understand, like the hidden process beneath the soil that I mentioned last week. That seed is starting to develop, we don't see it, right? We see best when the time is going by. As Max Lucado put it, faith is not believing that God will do what you want. It is believing that God will do what is right. So this is the faith of the farmer who plants even when the clouds are absent, trusting in a deeper promise. Our second point to trusting God in the unanswered silences, God's silence, often invites us to surrender our will to His. This is the profound lesson from Gethsemane. Yet, Father, not my will, but yours be done. This is the pinnacle of faith. To release our grip on our own desires and plans, and to trust that God's will, even when it leads to pain or disappointment, is ultimately good and perfect. This is incredibly difficult for us, especially when our desires are deeply held and seem right. Like when we want to save every animal in the ranch, or guarantee every crop in the field because of what? People need provision. That's a good thing to do, right? And we are desiring good things. Surrendering is not passive resignation. It is an active choice of faith. It means saying, God, I don't understand this drought. I don't get it. Or this market crash, and I don't like this path, but ultimately, Lord, I trust you. I believe your wisdom is greater than mine, Lord, yes, and your love is deeper than my pain. This surrender opens us up to receive God's strength and peace, even when our circumstances remain unchanged. It shifts our focus from what we want God to do for us to who God is. Let's go ahead on our third point. God's silence can be a pathway to deeper spiritual growth and maturity. Like the strength gained from weathering a harsh winter. It is often in the crossbow of an answered prayer and prolonged waiting that our faith is most tested and strengthened. Just as gold is refined by fire, our faith is purified and deepened when we are forced to rely on God's character rather than on His immediate intervention. These are the seasons where we learn patience. We don't like those lessons. Perseverance in a more profound dependence on our God, much like the resilience built in you, a rancher or perhaps a farmer who has faced some unpredictable, heartbroken circumstances, so many lean years, and still here today, you are still standing. Even though you may have thought differently, right? Think of the many examples, many figures who experienced God's silence in the Bible. Abraham, in his old age, still waiting decades for a son. Joseph, who was for years suffering unjustly in prison. Perhaps David fleeing from Saul and lately from his own son. Job enduring unimaginable pain and loss. For those of you who live by the land, you can probably relate yourself to Job's cry. He said, "Though he slay me, yet I hope in him." In each case, in each one of these cases, God was silent in the way that they expected, but profoundly at work, shaping them, preparing them, and ultimately revealing his glory through their endurance. Their story reminds us that God's greatest work is often happens in the quiet, unseen spaces of our struggles, preparing us for a future we cannot yet see, but God will allow us to experience. As someone who is unknown, who knew about enduring hardship, said once, "God never wastes a hurt." So God never wastes a hurt. That means every challenge, every silent season can be used by Him for our ultimate good. So remain faithful to Him. Doesn't matter the struggles that you're facing, He wants you to remain faithful to Him. Trusting God in the unanswered silence. Our fourth point is God's no or wait often protects us or prepares us for something better. As you all know, like a necessary resting period for the land to get better prepared, to get the soil, you know, to get the strength back, right? To get all the organic stuff that it needs. So sometimes the very thing we are praying for, if granted, would not be for our ultimate good or would hinder a greater plan God has in store. Again, with our own limited vision, we cannot always see the full tapestry of God's design. His silence might be a loving protection, shielding us from harm or from a path that would lead us astray from Him, perhaps preventing a greater loss down the line. It might also be a preparation, allowing time for circumstances to align, for us to grow, or for others to be ready. What do you mean, others to be ready? Yeah, people that are around us that may not be ready to see what God is preparing for us. And talking about that, being ready, back in around 2003, when my wife and I started our process to move to Canada, that was when we first started talking about the possibility to move to Canada. Her mom would not approve it. She wasn't a Christian by that time, and she refused to talk about it. She would be mad if we were talking about it, right? And in our plans, we were moving to Canada 1 year after we started our visa process, right? Just like that. Oh, we are praying. God called us to move to Canada. Everything will work well, right? So it wasn't quite like that. So year four, we thought 1 year. Year four, starting it, and we were working hard. We thought that we had hit so many walls that we had so many challenges and moments when we thought we got it wrong. God did not call us at all. So, but it was the beginning of that year that my mother-in-law came to us and said, "I give you my blessing." Wow, that was great. But I just want you to know, I don't like it. But I know that you are moving because you're being obedient to God. And I'll take that. So, fast forwarding a little bit, 2019, I had the chance to go down to Brazil to visit my mom, and of course to visit my in-laws as well. And I had the privilege to see her giving her testimony as a Christian and being baptized. That was so powerful. It was so beautiful, right? So it's God's time, not our time. Consider the times in your own life when a gate seemed to close or a deal fell through. And later you realized, wow, I'm so glad that God did not allow that to go through. This is good. It's better now than it would have been. So these are moments when God's silent answer was ultimately a profound act of grace and guidance. Just as you as a farmer allows a field to rest to restore its richness, God may be allowing a period of unanswered silence to enrich your soul and prepare you for a more abundant future. Let's go to our final point. Trusting in the unanswered silence cultivates a resilient hope. A hope as instead as the changing seasons. We need to live with a sense of hope. Everyone needs. Even those who are not Christians who don't have faith in Jesus Christ. But our hope is not based on wishful thinking or the immediate fulfillment of our desires, but on the unshakable character of our God. It is the hope that says, even if I don't see the rain now, I know that God's faithful. Even if I don't understand this hardship, I know He is still good. Even if the answer never comes in the way I expect, I know His ultimate plan for me is one of hope and a future. This kind of hope allows us to persevere through the longest nights, the harshest winters, and the most unchallenging, painful season, knowing that dawn will eventually break. A new day will come where God's mercies are renewed and His purposes will ultimately prevail. In conclusion, the unanswered silence of God is not a place to be feared, but a good space to grow our muscle, our faith muscle. A place for profound spiritual growth. It is an invitation to deepen our trust, to surrender our will, and to cultivate a hope that rests not on what we receive, but again on who God is. May we follow Christ's example in the Gethsemane and sincerely pray, Father, not my will, but yours be done. And we can find strength and peace even in the deepest silences. As we don't know what the future holds, as we sang tonight, right? But we know who knows. And our hope is in the one who holds it for us. So let's continue our faith journey. Let's continue to work the land or to work whatever we do in our lives under God's watch, knowing that He will answer our prayers according to His plans. Thankfully, not ours. And we will have the assurance that He will remain faithful to give us what we need to remain faithful to Him. He'll give us enough for today, and we'll trust tomorrow again in His hands. Let's pray one more time. Father God, we know, Lord, that you love us. And Father, we know that you always have the best plan in place for us, Lord. Even though we cannot see, Father, you will show us when we need to see and if we need to see it, Lord. Father God, help us to trust you daily, Father. Trust the unknowing to you. Father God, to trust our hurts to you, Father. To trust those we love in your presence, Lord. And Father, we pray that your plan, Lord, will always, always be in place for us. And Father, help us to pray, Lord, to pray. Not our will, but always, Lord, always your will be done for us. We pray that in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.